An egg today is better than a hen tomorrow. That's wisdom that's been attributed to Benjamin Franklin. We're taking that quote to heart and cooking with eggs today for Food Friday. Our guest is a keeper of chickens himself, so he's had plenty of eggs to practice recipes with. David Tank is the Wisconsin-based author of Uncle Egbert's Egg Book, recipes and other fun ways to enjoy the eggs from your backyard chickens. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much. I am excited to be here.
I think there's a lot of that in the offing, right? A lot of egg-related puns?
Yeah, probably too many.
Now, before we get into what to do with eggs, let's go back to the source, your backyard chickens. And I guess, which came first, your chickens or the egg recipes?
Well, the chickens definitely came first. We decided about 5 years ago to get some backyard chickens, which was fun. Except then all of a sudden, you know, like 2 months later, we discovered we were starting to get a lot of eggs. We only had three hens, but that was turning into three eggs a day. There were only two of us in the household. Every 4 days, that's a dozen eggs. And you can, you know, give away just so many. And it was like, what do we do with all these eggs? So we started searching around for some interesting recipes because you get sick of just scrambled eggs pretty quick. And what could we do to use up all these eggs? And we started gathering recipes from different places. We started creating some of our own. And it just became a fun adventure on how do we get rid of so many eggs.
Yeah, eggs become the zucchinis of the animal world, I guess.
And we even have a recipe in there for egg-battered zucchini.
All right. Best of both worlds there.
You bet.
Now, you ended up with a wide variety of recipes in your book. I mean, you know, the basic scrambled, boiled, and so on, to burritos,
sure,
pizzas, soups, desserts, too. And a lot of these are your own originals or things you've modified, but you've also been on the hunt for, you know, those old cookbooks you find in thrift stores. What kind of inspiration have you found there?
Well, that was fun because searching through those, it was, some of them were very interesting, we'd never heard of, but the most fun part was trying to figure out how to make the recipes we found in those old church cookbooks work so that anybody could understand them. Sometimes we'd find them and it would say, like, make your batter as usual. And it's like, okay, that's not very helpful. Or some of them would be for, you know, like, makes or serves 20. And it's like, no, we're not really wanting to serve 20, although that would use up a lot of eggs.
Now, let's talk about a couple of the basics before we dig into some specific recipes. I've heard conflicting advice over the years on the absolute best surefire way to hard-boil an egg. What is your favorite way to hard-boil eggs?
My favorite way to hard-boil an egg is really to bring it to the boil, to turn it off, let it sit for it's like 12 to 15 minutes, take it out. Why keep running the electricity on the stove for longer than you need to? And that seems to have worked fine. The biggest challenge is peeling the hard-boiled eggs. That's a real bummer. In fact, I think it was on this program that I heard a guy last year talking about peeling eggs, and he says the most surefire way to peel a dozen hard-boiled eggs perfectly is to start with two dozen.
Perfect. And how about the scrambled eggs? I imagine you've eaten a scrambled egg or two since your chicken raising experiment began. Any insight from that?
Well, you can do them in a microwave. It actually works pretty well. And they're easy and they taste good. They get nice and fluffy. You have to make sure you add a little water because the steam in there is what really makes them work. My preference is the old-fashioned way, where just in a frying pan, and you stir them as they fry. They're super simple. It's really fast. One of them, I just had this for lunch today. Going through this book again today, I was thinking, well, now I'm hungry for eggs for lunch. So I had the old toad in a hole, which reminded me of being a Boy Scout, where you take the piece of bread, you cut a hole in the center, you put it in the frying pan with butter. And then as soon as it starts to get hot, you throw the egg in the center of it. Then you flip it over and you have your egg sandwich, but it's all in one piece, the eggs in the center of it. And that's kind of fun.
Talking to David Tank, Wisconsin-based author of Uncle Egbert's Egg Book, recipes and other fun ways to enjoy the eggs from your backyard chickens. You can join in at 800-642-1234 on this edition of Food Friday. Do you love eggs, like to cook with eggs? Do you need some advice? Or do you raise your own backyard chickens? Call 800-642-1234. Now, David, I love – should I be calling you Uncle Egbert, or is David okay?
David works.
David works for you. Wonderful. Now, I like deviled eggs. I've never actually made them myself. You've got a recipe that you've shared with us. This is at WPR.org/Food Friday. Kick butt deviled eggs. Tell us about them.
Deviled eggs were something that I used to be known for bringing to potluck dinners. Although people seem today to be scared to eat deviled eggs or anything at a potluck dinner. It's like, oh my gosh, we hear eggs are going to be terrible and kill us. Not true. But I used to make a lot of them, and they're fun. They're easy. You just start out with some hard-boiled eggs. You take the insides out and mix it with a few things. I thought most deviled eggs were kind of bland, so I started adding some good Dijon mustard, some horseradish in it, some homemade pickle relish, and I ended up with great deviled eggs. I do have one thing that I would encourage people to remember, and I experimented with this as a big potluck one time. I put some dye in the yellow.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking about the whole green eggs and ham thing.
Uh-huh.
And I put some red dye in one batch, and I put some blue dye, which turned green, in the other batch. And at the end of the potluck, none of the green eggs had been taken, and all of the red ones were gone.
They would not eat them at the potluck?
They were the exact same eggs, just a different color inside.
Did Dr. Seuss teach us nothing?
I guess not.
Now, do you do the paprika on top of those? That gives them a nice splash of color and flavor, too.
No, not usually.
Okay. I'm a big paprika fan. I probably would add that back to your recipe, if that's okay.
I added parsley flakes to this one. And if it's in the summer and you've got fresh parsley chopped up, that's pretty good.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in La Crosse. John, hi.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Yes. I was just listening to, we grew chickens, had eggs, fresh eggs, and part of your peeling problem is your egg is so fresh. You need to let them age at least a week or so, and then after you hard boil them, they'll peel better.
Interesting. Yes. Have you experienced that too?
Yes, we have. That makes a big difference. In fact, we usually keep the eggs so we know which ones are the oldest ones. And it does seem like that works a lot better.
Well, I think we've got another bit of advice on peeling those hard-boiled eggs. Cindy is with us in Fifield. Cindy, hi.
Hi. What? Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's your advice on peeling hard-boiled eggs?
I used to work at a large hotel in Las Vegas, and we would peel dozens and dozens of eggs for banquets. And this is a surefire way to peel a hard-boiled egg. Once they're done, pour out the hot water. Crack them, rinse them immediately in cold water. You can even rinse that again so the water is cold. Leave them in the cold, and then the water gets under the shell, and they'll slip out of that quite easily and whole. You won't destroy the egg.
And it doesn't make the egg soggy or anything, Cindy?
No, not at all. Not if they're completely hard-boiled and hard. No, it works like a charm.
Cindy, thanks a lot for that call.
So
Vegas.
So you crack them before you put them in the cold water.
Yeah. So you put the cold water over the cracked eggs. Thank you so much for that advice, Cindy. That one I definitely want to try. Now, let's touch on another recipe you shared with us, a quiche. I like quiches in the holiday season. You can make them the night before and just reheat them. You gave us a ham, cheese, and broccoli quiche.
Yes.
Tell us about that one.
Quiche has really become our favorite go-to for the eggs, partly because it uses about 8 to 9 eggs in one batch if you use a deep dish crust. And they're really easy to make. The things that we discovered are the most important is, one, pre-bake your crust. Otherwise, it's really hard to get the crust not soggy. So I always pre-bake the crusts. Then I put the fillings in. And it has to bake for a long time. I was always too antsy to get to the thing. And it takes like 45 minutes to bake. And then the real key is, if you just take it out and cut it, it's going to look very juicy inside. It needs to sit for about another 15 minutes before you eat it. And then you can cut it, and it slices pretty good. But the first ones I made, I was always jumping the gun. I go, like, these things just are too liquidy. What's wrong?
I've got a quiche question for you, David. I've asked other guests. I've looked online. I can't find the answer. Sometimes when I make quiche, I get these patches on the top. I don't know if it's egg white or what, but they're these like tough, white, plasticky patches of the egg, I guess. Have you ever seen that? Do you know what causes that? Or is it all just me?
It sounds like you're using plastic Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it gives it that delightful color, David.
Yeah, right. And they crack right in half perfectly.
Exactly. Every time.
I don't know what that is, actually. Yeah. I have not run into that.
This is a Rob thing. We're talking to David Tank on Food Friday. He's the author of Uncle Egbert's Egg Book. We're talking about cooking with eggs. He's in our studio in Eau Claire. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite egg dish? Do you have some tips for getting the perfectly fluffy scrambled egg? Or do you have a question for our guest about how he uses eggs? And do you, like our guest, raise eggs with your own chickens? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking about eggs with expert David Tank, Wisconsin-based author of the cookbook Uncle Egbert's Egg Book. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your favorite way to cook and eat eggs, your own experiences maybe with backyard chickens yourself, or your questions for our guest. 800-642-1234 is the number. Back to your calls. Milan is with us in Spring Green. Milan, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, because you mentioned that you get those rubbery patches sometimes on top of your quiche.
Uh-huh. There, yes. Do you have an answer?
Yeah, so I make quiches a lot, and I don't know 100% that my answer is right, but what I've found is that if I use the convection in my oven when I'm making a quiche, I get those. So if you turn the convection in your oven off, you should be able to avoid having those rubbery patches on the top.
Gotcha.
I know exactly what you're talking about there.
Okay.
Really kind of awful.
I don't have a convection oven, so I'll have to keep searching for an answer, but thanks for that. That's one possible cause. David, before we go back to our callers, talk about the experience of taking care of those backyard chickens a little bit.
Well, our chickens are definitely pets. Pets that earn their keep. they really are a lot of fun, and we've done various different things on how to keep them. We've had them free range for a while, but that didn't work so well because they also tend to like the same garden plants we do, which doesn't work so well. So we've got a nice large run for them. Occasionally we'll still leave them out and they'll follow us around in the yard. Probably the funniest thing that's ever happened with our chickens is that we had some company over. We were in the dining room, and the dining room has a patio door, and the chickens were outside on the deck watching us. And we were listening to Queen, my album of Queen, and the chickens were just out there pecking away. And all of a sudden, Bohemian Rhapsody comes on, and when they get to the break, the guitar break, the chickens stopped, put their heads to the glass, and were mesmerized until the guitar break was finished. And then they went back to their picking.
Right.
I guess they like that kind of picking.
I guess Dr. Brian May, yeah, he's a guitarist, astronomer, and chicken whisperer as well.
And he's also a big 3D geek.
All right. Well, that's a great story. We'll go back to the callers now. Ron is with us in Los Angeles. Ron, hi.
Hi. I just happen to be David's brother.
Oh, okay.
No.
But I do happen to be calling you from Los Angeles. I am listening via the internet, and I wanted to remind him that my favorite recipe in that book, although there are a lot of good ones, is about French toast with granola. So please tell everybody how great that is.
Ah, okay. And you tested that recipe too, didn't you?
I tested that out before you got the book out.
That's right.
And I use that a lot.
Well, it's fancy French toast when you want to impress company, because you do the same thing as regular French toast, where you're dipping the bread in the egg milk mix and then frying it. The key is, before you put it on the griddle, I get some really good granola, like pistachio granola, something. I put it in the blender and I grind it really fine. Then the last thing I do is I dip the French toast, after it's been battered, into that mix, then put it on the griddle. and you get the loveliest, crunchiest outside to it, and the inside stays really well.
So. Ooh, that's another one I want to try. That sounds really good.
Yeah, that is a fun one, and easy, too.
All right. Thanks a lot for the brotherly call from Los Angeles.
Thank you.
Let's go back to our callers now. Chris is with us in Adams. Chris, hello.
Hi. I'm going to go back to the woman who said that you run eggs under cold water. There's a less usury way to do that, and this is easy. When you put your eggs in the water for boiling, set up a side dish with some ice water in it, and you just dump the eggs. What happens, this is scientific, actually. There's a reason this happens. The steam from the inside of the eggs as it's cooling goes out in between the shell and the egg, and they will just pop right out of the shell. You just throw them from the hot water into the ice-cold water, and that works. You're not, like, running them under cold water. That just wastes a lot of water. Number two, old eggs are the best eggs to make soufflés with. Number three is that if you beat eggs whites and you put them in your rising bread dough, like you're making a quick bread with banana bread or whatever, it lifts the quality of the bread.
Chris, thank you so much for those three pieces of advice. I do that with my waffles, actually, where I'll whip egg whites and then fold them into the waffle batter.
Here's one other idea you might want to try on peeling the hard-boiled eggs. It's fun, and it's, I don't know, interesting when it works. Take your egg, put it in a jar, like a peanut butter jar, especially the glass one works good. Fill it about half full of water, and then just shake it. And the whole egg will get kind of pulverized, and when you dump it back out, you can just peel the pulverized egg right off the egg. And it works about 75% of the time, and if you shake too hard, you end up like with a really mushy mess in your jar. But it's fun.
All right, Chris, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. David Tank is with us on Food Friday. He's the author of Uncle Egbert's Egg Book, recipes and other fun ways to enjoy the eggs from your backyard chickens. Time for another caller or two. Peter is with us now in Chicago, or from Chicago. Peter, hi.
Hi. From Madison, Chicago. This is about preventing or making it easy to open eggs. I learned this from a Bulgarian cook, and we use it. It works. Before you put them in the hot water, which is whatever, you punch a little hole in the flatter end of the egg with I use a push pin, which we keep right with the eggs. You just put the hole in it, and sort of that exchange of hot water and cool water, whatever, they're easy to peel.
Anyway, I want to be clear on this, Peter. This is while the egg is still raw before the cooking process?
Yes.
Wow, okay. And it doesn't all start oozing out?
Sometimes a little tiny little stream will come out, but very little. It's a very small hole.
Well, the big end makes sense to do because that's where the air pocket would be, especially if the eggs are like a week or so old. You have an air pocket there, so you wouldn't actually be breaking into the egg itself.
Peter,
good idea.
Thank you so much for that call. Yeah, we're always racking our brains trying to figure out what'll get people to call into the show, David. Turns out it's the best ways to peel hard-boiled eggs. Who knew? Well, I think you had one more recipe for us. Here it is. Baked eggs in hash nests. Again, we've put this up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, another one where you use the oven. I like cooking using an oven because you set it up and then you go away and you come back and all of a sudden there's your meal. Basically, this is as simple as it gets. You can use a can of hash, make it into a couple of little nests, and spread it evenly, put some little depressions in it. You could poke it with a cup or something just to make that. You break an egg into each of the depressions, and you bake for 375 for 30 minutes, and then you have a meal. Pretty easy, is it? Now, here's a nice variation. I was going to make that not long ago. I didn't have any hash, but I had hash browns.
Ooh.
Did the exact same thing, made the little nests. In fact, they looked more like real eggs and nests. Cracked it in, put it in the oven, baked it, and I had a delicious hash brown and egg dinner just waiting for me.
Well, it seems like you could do that with a lot of different forms of potatoes anyway. I could see, like, you know, you make some mashed potatoes and then you lay it out and drop the eggs in them too.
Well, the fun of this, of putting this book together, and I think also of using it, is that there's a lot of variations you can think of. It's not like you must do this exact thing this exact way. It's really a kickoff point to say, hey, well, I could try this or try that. And the instructions that I've put in here, too, are really step-by-step. So even a person who knows nothing about cooking can probably figure their way through it.
Let's bring on one more caller. Conrad is with us in Ashland. Conrad, hi.
Hi. I had a question on egg production. We have about 20 chickens. And in the summer, we usually get about a dozen eggs a day. And then the winter, it drops off to one or two a day. And we do have a light in there that we put on at night, but I wondered if he had any suggestions for increasing production in the wintertime.
Conrad, thanks for the call. David, he's got a bigger scale operation, it sounds
much
like, but
bigger.
Any advice? Yeah.
Boy, that's dropping off a lot. I'm not sure. We did discover one thing, that the food that we give them makes a difference on egg production. We had been just using a real basic food for quite a while, and one of our hens was getting pretty old and had stopped laying eggs, and we switched to an expensive GMO food for a couple of months, and that old hen started laying again.
Hmm.
So that might make a difference.
Experimenting
with
food.
Are your eggs being free-ranged, or your chickens?
Yeah, in the summer. They don't like going out.
Oh.
I have a feeling you're going to find eggs behind trees and things, too.
All right, that's all the time we have. Conrad, thanks for calling in. And David, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us and your recipes.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
That's David Tank, author of Uncle Egbert's Egg Book and caretaker for a backyard run of chickens. We talked with him for this edition of Food Friday about cooking with eggs. He joined us in our studio in Eau Claire.